Welcome to Grace in the Shadows. This is Dr. Marla Beeler and
Dr. J.
Dr. Jonathan Beeler. Well, hello, everybody. Hope you're doing well today. We'd like to give a quick shout out to Roanoke, Texas.
Yay, Roanoke, Texas.
All right.
We have a Roanoke, Virginia.
Yeah, now Roanoke, Texas. So thank you so much, Roanoke, for listening and sharing. And some new listeners there. We're very excited to have you. Thank you so much. You can check us out at graceintheshadows.org. Text or call 251-244-4645. Or you can email us at drjonathan@graceintheshadows.org. Well, we've got a little snow today.
Yeah, about 2 inches. We're working on 3 here.
Yeah.
And it looks nice. We had some snow cream.
A little snow cream.
And it wasn't yellow.
Wasn't yellow snow.
It was nice and white snow. It's very good.
What do you put in it? I put heavy cream.
Heavy cream.
And vanilla.
Vanilla.
And I put some stevia because we're trying to be healthier.
Trying to be healthy.
And I put some dry milk.
That's very good.
Yeah, very good. Dry milk. Yeah. So mixed it all up together and had us a bowl together. It was nice.
I love it.
And the dog just got finished going out in the snow. Did he like it?
He did. He's really kind of indifferent. He just went out there and did his thing.
Well, that is sad.
Yeah, he's getting old.
You should like the snow.
Yeah.
Oh well. I'm getting old, so I like to watch it out the window. Yep.
Well, some jokes. I got some jokes.
Of course you do. Yes.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. What did the boy say to his fingers?
What did the boy say to his fingers? I have no idea.
I'm counting on you.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
I got another one. You ready?
Of course you do. Yes.
What kind of music do elves listen to?
What kind of music do elves listen to?
Rap music. Rap the gift.
Like rapping.
Rap.
So you're talking about like Santa's elves.
Rap, yep.
Okay. All right. Are you done?
Yeah, I'm finished for today.
Okay.
I think I'll just go ahead.
Yeah, I think you'll just stop right there. All right. So I've got some interesting facts today. Did you know that Count Dracula was inspired by a real person?
Wasn't it in Europe? Somewhere in Europe?
Well, the titular Count, whatever that means, was based on none other than history's own Vlad the Impaler as the monarch
Romania.
What now?
Was it Romania?
Well, yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. As the monarch of Wallachia, a Romanian region of Transylvania, Vlad soon made a fearsome reputation for himself by killing and impaling, this is kind of lovely, bodies of his enemies. Yeah. All right.
Okay, he was a very nice guy.
Not a very lovely person.
Talk about some heartburn.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right. Do you know how many soldiers we had in the U.S. Army at the end of World War II?
In the Army?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is it drafted or? I guess period.
Just period. Yeah.
I would say 100,000.
Wow. 12 million.
Really?
Yeah. Because they say it's because due to the in part to the surge of American patriotism and because of the draft, the U.S. Army numbered 12 million soldiers by the end of the war in 1945.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
All right. So what is our topic today?
We're talking about David again. We're going into a little character study. We skipped him last week.
We did.
Because we had a special guest.
And please do check that. And I've started reading the book, Tim Remington, about his experience. It's very interesting. So, yeah, check that out. Last podcast, we did an interview of Tim Remington, who was shot and lived and just has seen wonderful things occur because of it. And so his book is linked in our show notes, and it is very interesting. So please do check it out.
And there's things he obviously could not talk about or did not for whatever reason. And it is a powerful book.
It is very powerful.
And definitely can see how they're going to make a movie out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just it shows a picture of the bullets that went into his body. They were huge.
He shouldn't have lived.
No, it should not have lived. So God definitely had his hand all over him. So please do make sure you go back and check that out. So here we are, David.
Let's get into David. David spares King Saul's life here.
Okay.
And it's quite interesting. It's kind of like there's some forgiveness here and whatnot, kind of like Tim and the guy who shot him.
Right.
You kind of relate that to David and King Saul in this chapter.
Oh, yes, definitely.
I'll go ahead and read 1 through 2.
Okay, 1 Samuel chapter 24, yeah. Verses 1 and 2. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told, David is in the desert of En-Gedi. So Saul took 3,000 able young men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats.
So in the last chapter, the Lord God miraculously delivered David by drawing Saul away. Remember, the messenger came, whether it was a man or an angel.
Right.
Saul went and fought the Philistines. But Saul came back. Mm-hmm. To get David,
right?
Ultimately to kill David.
Yeah.
But, sometimes God will remove our enemies for a short time to give us a breather.
That is true. That is true. He surely does.
But they truly aren't gone until ultimately we're with the Lord.
Right.
Or the Lord takes them either way.
Yes, you're right.
But God allows our enemies to test us. What do you think? What's the reason why God allows testings to people maybe that don't like us or whatever?
It helps us to depend on God more, mm-hmm. helps build our character, build our faith, build our strength in Jesus, I think.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
And so the Lord was building David's character to prepare him to be king.
Correct. Yes.
The wilderness of En-Gedi is a canyon that runs western from the Dead Sea. It's very close to the Dead Sea, very low, the lowest point in the world.
Oh, okay.
So you can still see the creek flowing down the canyon today. It is like an oasis, and it has waterfalls, vegetation. It almost seems like a tropical paradise in the middle of the desert. Mm-hmm. And it had lots of caves around the hills. It was a great place for David and his men, his soldiers to hide out. And so as they're sitting there, King Saul returns. Go ahead and read verse 3-5.
He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe.
Go ahead and read it to 7.
He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord." With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way.
So, I'm from Kentucky originally. And yes. There's a place called Mammoth Cave, one of the largest caves in the world. And, this cave here where David was, it had 600 men. David had 600 soldiers.
Right.
And he had a bunch of sheep. And so it was a large cave that hid.
Right.
And allowed them to have shelter in the middle of this cave.
Wow.
So, in God's sovereignty, the Bible is such a great book that, it really deals with real people and real lives with mundane circumstances.
Yes.
And we see God's providence even in the mundane things such as relieving oneself.
Right.
Saul goes to the restroom, and out of all the caves, which cave he goes into to relieve himself?
The one where David was.
Yes. And so he went to attend his needs.
Yep.
And David and his men are back there in the cave, and Saul could not see them. So Saul is out there, and he's got his soldiers outside the cave, and he's by himself.
Right.
And so he probably put his robe down, took it off.
Right.
And David is going to do something tremendous here.
Right. Right.
As he's relieving himself, as people do,
that happens.
The men of David thought this was a sign.
Right.
Sometimes we think because maybe our tire is flat,
mm-hmm.
or maybe we needed a new battery in our car, somehow that's a sign from God that we need a new car. Yeah. We have to be careful with that.
Right.
We?
Definitely. Definitely.
Because sometimes things just happen because they happen.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's an open door.
No.
Sometimes
right.
it's a test. Maybe True. God's testing us to see what we do with our money.
Right. Right. Right.
And so these men of David said, this is the day the Lord said, behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand that mm-hmm. you may do to him as it seems good.
Right.
So they thought this was God saying, kill him.
Right.
Stick him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stab him in the back.
Right.
But David did something really interesting.
Yeah.
David arose and cut off the corner of Saul's robe. You know, you could picture David with his dagger.
Sneaking up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, get him, David.
Right.
Going to stab him in the back.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that.
No, he did not.
He cut the robe.
Yes.
And many people speculate, how did he cut the robe without, you know, alerting Saul
right.
that he was behind him?
Yeah.
Well, one thing is Saul probably took the robe off before he went to the area where he relieved himself.
That makes sense. So you think that the robe was like laying down somewhere, so not on his person.
Correct.
Okay. I've often wondered that myself. So that makes total sense. Yeah.
Or it could have been that his men, the cave itself was making so much noise, the horses, that he couldn't hear them.
Okay.
That so either way.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
But then David does this and his heart is troubled.
Right. He starts feeling guilty.
This is a man. Really, he could have justified just killing this guy.
Correct.
But he felt troubled in his heart.
Right.
He had a tender heart, a conscience.
He did. Yes.
And so David, only cutting off the corner of Saul's robe, felt bad because he was insulting his authority as a king.
Mm-hmm.
Because God appointed him that authority.
Yes.
And so this is a very interesting thing that I think that we need to be very careful with what we say about our enemies.
Right. And it's interesting to think about, you know, his men kind of goaded him to go do this. So he went to do it. And then he started thinking, you know, maybe that wasn't the right thing to do. And he started questioning what he had done because he did realize that Saul was God's anointed. He realized that God put him in place as his king.
And remember, yeah. David is a man after God's own heart.
Right.
David is ultimately, in a sense, in the lineage of yeah. Jesus Christ, or right. Jesus in the lineage of David.
Yeah.
And so David is kind of a Christ-like foreshadowing of Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. And it's interesting how he let himself get riled up and then regretted it. And don't we do that?
Mm-hmm.
Don't we get riled up sometimes and then
say things we shouldn't?
Act before we think. And I mean, thankfully, he did not do anything drastic here. Mm-hmm. He could have. But we have to be careful who we are keeping company with and who is in our ear, so to say, getting us to, or you know, suggesting that we do things.
And the Lord told us to love our enemies, bless those that curse you.
Right.
And to love those that hate you.
Yes.
And David is doing just that.
Yeah.
And he says to his men, Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master.
Right.
The Lord's anointed.
Yeah.
Saying he is anointed of God.
Right.
So David feared God.
He did. He did. And thankfully, he did that before he did anything he shouldn't have done.
And David also restrained his servants with these words.
Yeah.
He could have just let his servants, you know, he could have just stayed
Take
quiet.
Him out. Yeah.
Not done it himself, but let his servants, his soldiers do it.
Yeah. It would have saved him some heartache.
Oh, yeah.
But he was listening to God.
That's right.
Yeah.
In verse 8
okay.
through 15.
All right. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, my lord, the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, Why do you listen when men say David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evil doers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Against whom has the king of Israel come out? Who are you pursuing? A dead dog? A flea? May the Lord be our judge and decide between us. May he consider my cause and uphold it. May he vindicate me by delivering me from your hand.
So David went out of the cave. Now, yep. This was risky.
It was very risky.
Because
he's basically saying, hey, here I am.
And he could have just stood in the cave.
Right.
And just hid. Mm-hmm. So he could be safe and maybe Saul wouldn't find him.
Right.
But he went out in daylight and showed where he was. Mm-hmm. He stooped his face to the earth and bowed down.
Yes.
You know, demonstrating what? Submission.
Yeah.
A loyalty.
Saying, hey, you're my king.
Yeah.
Right.
David was pouring hot coals on Saul's forehead.
Right.
He was showing it's not just words, but he really meant what he said.
Right.
You know, he could have just said, you know, you and I are equal. Mm-hmm. You're king, so am I.
Right.
By the way, I'm going to take your place. But he didn't do that. He went with an attitude of humility.
Right.
Because he knows that God is the ultimate one that puts you in that authoritative position.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It really is amazing that he was able to hold himself together and do that. And not take care of his enemy who was trying to take care of him.
Sometimes we try to take things in our own hands.
Right.
And it never works.
No, it does not.
We try to take the steering wheel from God. We try to make God the co-pilot.
Yeah.
And if we do that, we need to move over.
We're in trouble.
We are in trouble. If God's our co-pilot, we need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're in big, big trouble.
Absolutely.
So why do you listen to the words of men, David says to Saul? Mm-hmm. You know, why did he say this? What was the reason he said this? Mm-hmm. It didn't seem like a lot of men were against David. Right. Most of them were talking well of him.
Yeah.
I think there's some psychology here.
Probably so.
Because if David would have said, Saul, you're the only one out to get me.
Right.
Saul would have probably rebelled against that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. David knew that Saul's fear of David came from Saul himself and not anyone else.
Yeah.
David put the blame on others that have no names.
Right.
So that it would be easier for Saul to humbly see that it was him that is the issue.
True.
And not others.
Right.
Yeah. I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for mm-hmm. he is the Lord's anointed.
Yeah.
You know, you hear a lot of people, don't touch the Lord's anointed. You hear people critiquing some preachers.
Right.
And it makes me cringe when I hear, don't touch the Lord's anointed. Yeah. Remember that scripture. You need to be careful.
Right.
Well, it's not talking about that. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul says we should test teachers.
Yeah.
We should ask questions.
Right.
And we should challenge individuals that are maybe not preaching the word of God.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a true, and godly pastor, you're going to want, or teacher, you're going to want people to check out your teachings and see if they align with God's word.
Yes. And this is not talking about challenging or questioning an authoritative teacher.
Yeah.
This is talking about King David. He could have killed Saul.
Yeah.
And this is a total different situation.
Right.
And I don't see anyone critiquing any false teachers out there wanting to kill the false teacher.
Me either.
That would be wrong too.
Definitely.
But
wrong.
Satan loves to twist scripture.
Absolutely.
Yeah. See the corner of your robe in my hand, David says to King Saul. And interesting enough, 1 Samuel 15:27-28, Saul grabbed Samuel's robe because Samuel said the kingdom's going to be taken from you, Saul.
Yes, yes.
And I think Saul probably went pale on this.
Probably so.
Because he saw the sermon that Samuel prophesied. And he saw that this peace was given to David, which was symbolic that David was getting the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah. And then what does David do here about judgment? Let the Lord judge between you and me.
Right.
You know, let the Lord judge. What a righteous thing.
Right.
How many of us say that?
Not many.
My hand shall not be against you. Yes, so I'm going to give it to God. God's going to take care of it. Vengeance is God's. Time will tell. But I'm not going to be the one to do it.
And that's often hard to do. We need to take a lesson from David with this.
Wickedness proceeds from the wicked. Basically, he's saying you'll know them by their fruit. Just like Jesus said about false teachers.
Yeah.
You will know them by their fruit.
Yes.
If their fruit does not show who they are, then they're not who they say they are.
Correct.
Yeah. Therefore, let the Lord judge.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead and read 16 through 19.
Okay. When David finished saying this, Saul asked, "Is that your voice, David, my son?" And he wept aloud. "You are more righteous than I," he said. "You have treated me well, but I have treated you badly. You have just now told me about the good you did to me. The Lord delivered me into your hands, but you did not kill me. When a man finds his enemy, does he let him get away unharmed? May the Lord reward you well for the way you treated me today."
So, and then, so Saul says, "Is this your voice, my son David? Oh, David, is this my boy?"
And he cried.
Yeah, he cried. His heart was softened.
Yeah.
And how could you not soften with that?
Right.
I mean,
he realized, hey, I could be dead right now.
"You are more righteous than I." And he's telling the truth.
He is.
"You have dealt with me. You did not kill me." Telling the truth. "The Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day." And he will.
Right.
David will be king.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul lifted up his voice and wept.
Yeah.
Can you imagine David throwing those coals on his head, Saul's head, melting Saul's heart?
Yeah.
Go ahead in 20 through 22.
Okay. "I know that you will surely be king and that the kingdom of Israel will be established in your hands. Now, swear to me by the Lord that you will not kill off my descendants or wipe out my name from my father's family." So David gave his oath to Saul. Then Saul returned home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold.
And he would become king. Right. 1 Samuel 23:17, but he will become king.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul knew this.
Right.
And then Saul wants him to make a swear oath that he would not kill his descendants.
Right.
Really, he couldn't do that because we'll see later on that can't happen.
Right.
And Saul went home, but David and his men went up to the stronghold.
Yeah, I mean, you see David hurt him and everything, but you don't see him going back with Saul. Pretty smart.
Well, because, you know, it's the same thing. People say they may come to Christ.
Right.
And you don't see the evidence.
Correct.
And David wisely wanted to see the evidence.
Right. Makes sense.
He wanted to see the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so David didn't go back, and that was wise. I think Saul would have turned on him. And so I think this is a good short chapter.
Yeah.
I think it really shows us that God really was working in David and preparing him to be king of Israel.
Yes, absolutely he was. And he's showing that he's really listening to God and being the person after God's own heart.
And we'll see in the next chapter, David kind of loses his temper a little bit. And, you know, David is very human here, and because he is a human. And he really, there's times he spirals. There's times he makes poor judgment.
Right.
But in this chapter, he made wise decisions.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
And he can make a wise decision in your life, if you're listening.
Right. Yes.
He can take your mess, turn it to a message for his glory, for your good.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a great day and stay warm. Bye-bye.